AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I want you to imagine it's the 1960s. We're standing in a government office in Seoul, South Korea. And then we transport ourselves to a similar office in Rio, Brazil. On paper, these two countries look almost identical. They are both poor. They are both struggling to recover from difficult histories. But most importantly, they both have millions of young people. The classrooms are full. The playgrounds are overflowing. Economists say, looking at them, these nations are the future. They have the manpower. Now, fast forward to today. South Korea used that army of young people to build Samsung, Hyundai, and LG. They became one of the richest nations on earth. Their average citizen earns over $33,000 a year. They've got rich. But Brazil? Brazil's a little different story. They grew, yes, they definitely did. But they did get stuck. They fell into the middle income trap. And now something tragic is happening in both these places. They are both running out of young people. The factories are going quiet. The hair is turning gray. South Korea got rich before it got old. Brazil got old before it got rich. Let that thought sink in. Right now, India is standing at that exact same fork in the road. Every single month, 1 million Indians enter the workforce. I repeat, 1 million every 30 days. Now, that's the population of a small European country asking for jobs every month. If we find them work, they will build the next superpower. If we don't just stay where we are, we become a country of old people who cannot afford their own health care. We have a 30-year deadline, and the clock started ticking yesterday.
You're listening to Nelson John 360.
Nelson John 360.
Hello and welcome back to Nelson John 360. Today we are demystifying the most dangerous and exciting timeline in Indian history. Can we pull off the South Korean miracle, or are we walking into a trap? Today, we're talking about the Goldilocks window. It's a rare economic miracle where everything is just right for a country to skyrocket. China rode this wave to become a superpower. South Korea rode it to become a tech giant. Now it's our turn. But there's a catch. Actually, there are three catches. And if we miss them, we don't just stay where we are, we risk falling into something economists call the middle income trap. So grab your coffee or tea and let's stop looking at the headlines and start looking at the timeline. Now, let me explain this Goldilocks concept. What is this? You know the fairy tale, right? Not too hot, not too cold, just right? Yes, that Goldilocks. In economics, the heat comes from the people who consume resources. The cold comes from the people who produce them. Now, every country has three buckets of people. One, the kids. Two, seniors. And three, the workers. Now, if we look at the kids, they need schools, food, and care. They're expensive. Parents, you know what I mean, right? And secondly, the seniors, 65 plus, they need pension and healthcare. They're also expensive to the state. And finally, the workers between, say, 18 to 64, these are the engines. They earn, they spend, they pay taxes, and they drive growth. Now, for most part of history, India has had too many kids. That meant our worker bucket was stressed out trying to feed the kid bucket. But right now, something historic has happened. Our birth rates have dropped. As of 2024, our total fertility rate, the number of children a woman has on average, has dipped to about 2. Now, that's below the replacement level. What do I mean by that? It means the kid bucket, well, it's shrinking. And the senior bucket hasn't exploded yet. For the next few decades, the worker bucket is going to be massive. Here's the stat you need to memorize. The dependency ratio right now for every 100 workers in India, there are only about 46 dependents, kids and seniors combined. Now, that's the magic number, 46. So when you have more hands to work than mouths to feed, you have extra money. Families save more. The government collects more taxes. That money gets invested back into roads, factories, and startups. It's like a rocket booster for the economy. Now, this is the Goldilocks window. But here's where the story gets dramatic. This window doesn't stay open forever. Let's look at our neighbors. In the 1990s, China hit the exact sweet spot. They used that massive workforce to become the factory of the world. They grew at 10% a year. Japan hit the sweet spot in the 60s and 70s. They built Toyota, Sony, and the bullet train. But look at them now. Today, the median age in Japan is 49.9 years. Basically, half of the country is over 50 years old. China is catching up fast with a median age of 40.2 years. They're getting old. They're running out of workers. And when we look at India, our median age is 29.8 years. We are literally the youngest major economy in the world. While Japan and Europe are buying walking sticks, India is buying smartphones and motorbikes. How global companies know this? Why do you think Apple is making iPhones in Tamil Nadu? Why is Hyundai doubling down on Pune? It's not just because they like us. It's because we are the only place left with enough young people to run these factories. This is our leverage. But leverage, as we know, is useless if you do not apply force. Now, just because we have a young population doesn't mean that we will automatically get rich. If that were true, even countries in Africa would be a superpower right now. There's a villain to this story. It's called the middle income trap. Let me explain this simply. Imagine you join a company as a junior intern. You work hard, you do the basic tasks, data entry, filing, making coffee. You get promoted to a mid-level manager. The pay is decent. You buy a car, maybe even a small house. But then, you know, you want to become the CEO. Now, to become a CEO, you can't just work harder at data entry. You need completely new skills, right? You need strategy, vision, innovation. If you don't learn those skills, you will continue to stay as a mid-level manager forever. You stagnate. Now, countries are the same. India has moved from poor to lower middle income. Our per capita income is around $2,500 to $2,700. Now, if you need to be a rich country, we need to get past the $13,000 mark. Mid-income, the middle income trap is when a country gets stuck halfway, just as the name suggests. They aren't cheap enough to be the sweatshop of the world anymore because wages went up. But they aren't smart enough to be the innovators of the world, like Silicon Valley or Europe. They get squeezed. And here is the danger for India. We are trying to get rich in a world where the rules have changed. When China got rich, they did it by putting millions of people into factories to make plastic toys and t-shirts. But today, robots make t-shirts. AI is doing customer service. The old ladder to success low-skill manufacturing is missing half its rungs. So how do we climb? Now, this brings us to the biggest hurdle in our Goldilocks scenario. If we have the biggest workforce in the world, we need the biggest job market in the world. Simple. But do we have it? Let's look at the numbers. The youth unemployment rate for ages between 15 to 29 is hovering around 14.6%. Now, that's millions of young people who are ready to work, eager to work, but sitting at home or doing time pass jobs that don't add any value. But ask any CEO in Bangalore or Gurgaon, and they will tell you the opposite problem. I have 100 job openings, but I can't find anyone skilled enough to hire. Now you see, this is called the skill gap. We have engineers who can't code. We have graduates who can't write a professional email. According to recent surveys, only about 51% of our graduates are considered employable straight out of college. Now, if the Goldilocks window is an engine, education is the fuel. Right now, we are pouring in low-quality fuel into a Ferrari, and it's sputtering. And there is another massive unused engine. Women. In China, during their boom years, nearly 70% of women worked. When you look at India, our female labor force participation rate, well, it has improved recently, but it's still hovering around 37 to 41%. Think about that. We are trying to win a global race, but we are running with one leg tied behind our back because half our workforce isn't in the formal economy. If we don't fix skilling, we don't fix gender participation. The demographic dividend, well, turns into a demographic disaster. Instead of millions of young workers driving the economy, you get millions of angry unemployed youth. That leads to social unrest, crime, and instability. What's at stake here? All right, enough of the doom and gloom. I promised you we'd demystify the solution too. Because the good news is we are actually making moves. If you want to watch these three specific things over the next year, these are your indicators for whether we're winning. One, the China plus one shift. And we're seeing this happen. Apple making the iPhone 15 and 16 here in India is a huge signal. It's not just about the phone, it's about the ecosystem. When a giant factory opens, it needs suppliers, logistics, packaging, and roads. Also, watch for semiconductors. Now, the government is pushing billions into chip manufacturing. ISM, the India Semiconductor Mission. If we pull that off, we move from assembling to creating. The next indicator, the service export boom. India has always been the back office of the world, but now we are becoming the front office. We're seeing global capability centers, GCCs, popping up everywhere. These, well, they aren't called centers. They are R&D hubs where JP Morgan, Mercedes, and Goldman Sachs are hiring Indian talent to do high-end work. Now, why does that matter? Because this breaks the middle income trap. This is the high-value work. On to our third indicator, the infrastructure velocity. You can't have a modern economy on ancient roads. The speed of highway construction, the new freight corridors, the digital stack, I mean the UPI, these are all the arteries of the economy. We're building at a pace that's frankly astonishing. We're adding kilometers of highway every day that would take other countries months to approve. So now when we go back to our ticking clock, 2024 to 2055, we have roughly 30 years before our population curve flattens and we start looking like Japan. The big question, can India get rich before it gets old? The answer is yes, but we would have to sprint. We cannot afford a slow and steady decade. We cannot afford policy paralysis. We need to create approximately 10 to 12 million jobs every single year. It's a tall order, but remember, no other country in the world has the energy, the hunger, and the sheer volume of youth that we do. The world needs India to succeed. because the world is running out of workers everywhere. So what does that mean for you, the listener? If you are in that worker bucket, that is 18 to 64 that I mentioned earlier, you are the MVP of the story, most valuable player. All right, your ability to upskill, to adapt, to move from doing a job to solving a problem is what will decide if we break that trap. So don't settle for being the mid-level manager. Aim for the CEO skills. Learn AI, learn finance, learn how to sell. Because the tide is rising and you need to be ready to swim. The clock is ticking, but it's not a bomb. It's a heartbeat. And right now, India's heart is beating stronger than anywhere else on earth. Let's make it count. I'm your host, Nelson John. This has been the Nelson John 360 podcast. If you found this breakdown helpful, please share it with someone who needs to understand where our economy is heading. And hit that follow, subscribe button. That's your show of support to me, motivating me to bring more content on a regular basis. All right, stay curious, stay informed, stay safe.